Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Psachim daf Mem Ches. We are holding a daf Mem Zayinim Beis. We are 5 lines from the end of the page on daf Mem Zayinim Beis at Amar Leis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Zchusur for Shalema for Rabbi Kalmer Shlita Yehuda Ben Rivka Leah, and it's also sponsored by the outdoor minion in Woodmere known as the Church Avenue Minion, Zchusur for Shalema for our friends, neighbors, and members, Yuri Sternfeld, Yehuda Aryeh Rafael Ben Yita, who's currently in the ICU fighting COVID, and Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak Ben Tova Rosa, who's also in the ICU. They should have a Rafua Shalema B'soch Shar Chola Yisrael. So the last thing we mentioned yesterday was that Muktza, it may be a Doraisa, that when we were trying to figure out how a person could be over 5 separate lavin that he's going to be Chayv Malkus for when it comes to being Mevashel, Giranasha, Bechalov, Anyantiv. So where do you get the 5 separate things? So one of the things was, we suggested Muktza, that maybe Havara was not included in the list, but Muktza was included in the list. So the daf is going to begin by questioning the possibility that you can get Malkus for an Isser Muktza, that Muktza is going to be a Doraisa, a Lav Doraisa, for which you can get Malkus for. But once you're going to take Muktza off the list, you need to add something else to the list. Meaning, if we said that there are 5, that there are 5 Yisurim involved, so there's, and Havara can't be it, and Muktza can't be it, so what exactly is that 5th Isser? So we're going to have 2 suggestions for that. The Gemara is then going to talk about whether the Machlokas Amorayim, about cooking for a weekday on Yom Tov, meaning the idea of the Machlokas, whether we say Ho'il, that Ho'il the Meklai Archim, since guests can show up at any time, whether that Machlokas, whether we say Ho'il, connects to Machlokas Tanayim, about the Machlokas Tanayim we had in the Mishnah, about what do you do with a dough that's Tameh and it's Pesach, how do you do a Afrashas Challah? Are you allowed to bake the bread? Are you allowed to bake the matzah, rather, before your Mafresh Challah? Maybe that's also about Ho'il, and the Gemara is going to discuss whether that in fact is the case, that the Machlokas Tanayim is really the same as this Machlokas Amoraim. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the maximum amount of dough that's permissible to bake on Pesach without worrying that it's going to be too much to be shomer michimutz, to protect it from becoming chimutz, chametz, and then on Amud Beis we're going to have 2 mishnayos. The first mishnah on Beis is going to explain how it could be that many women who have to share a single small oven can avoid chametz problems when baking together on Pesach, if after all they have to take turns using the oven. Well, one of them is baking, the other one's dough is rising, so how do they avoid any problems of chametz? And then the second Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to begin a discussion of the different steps in the process of a dough turning into chametz. At what point does it become partially chametz? At what point does it become chametz gomur? What do you need to see? What's the physical appearance of the dough that indicates to a person that there's a problem of chimutz on the dough? So let's begin again about 5 lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The last thing we suggested was that based on the pasuk of Vayabiyam Hashishi V'chinu Es Asher Yaviu, that there's a chi of Malkus for Muktza. So Amalei, so Abayi says to Rabba, Va'atu da Amrit, but aren't you the one that said, and there's going to be a while till we get to his rejection, but remember, just keep in mind, what we're trying to reject is the idea that there's Malkus for Atze Muktza, for using wood of Muktza on Yom Tov. So Va'atu da Amrit, aren't you the one that said that Bayim Minei Rav Chista, V'amila Bayim Minei Rav Huna, that the Shaila was asked either to Rav Chista or to Rav Huna, Hevi Seme Afar, Ushchato Tamid B'Yom Tov Mahu? What if a person brings a sheep from a place that's like far out of the Yishuv, and it's an area that's clearly Muktza, because the animal's clearly going to be Muktza. You're leaving it in a place that there's no plans before Yantiv to be able to access that animal. And then you go and you get that animal, and you shecht it as the Karban Tamid on Yantiv. Karban Tamid doesn't take a break. It's every day, twice a day, regardless. And you shecht it as the Karban Tzibur that's run every day called the Karban Tamid. So Mahu, what's the dinner? You allowed to be makrivit on the Mizbeach on Yom Tov. Va'at amrit lan Allah, and you told us about that shaila that you could be poshited from a brisa, because the brisa darshan's a pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk in Yecheskel is talking about the karbanos that Klal Yisrael is going to bring la'asulavo when we have a Chanukah space amigdash. But Chazal darshan the pasuk about karbanos in general, about halachos of karbanos, even when it's not the third base amigdash. The halachos that we're about to identify. So the pasuk in Yecheskel says, "V'seh achas minatzon mina masayim mimashke Yisrael." And we darshan each word in the pasuk to tell me a chiddush. Seh, the word seh implies it could be either male or female. So that tells me, that teaches me that for a carbon you have to bring the kind of animal that could be either male or female, v'lo abachar, and therefore it cannot be something that's a bachar, because a bachar can only be male. If it's in a keva, then it wouldn't have kedushas bachar. So you're not allowed to bring a bachar as your carbon tamid. Achas, what do we learn from achas? Sounds like it's alone, that it's not among a group of animals. So that tells me they have to bring an animal that is not below meiser, that is not a meiser behema for your carbon tamid, because meiser behema can only come in the context of being with nine others. The only way to do meiser behema is you count out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then number 10 is designated as meiser behema. Minatzon, the pasuk says minatzon, which is a miut. It sounds like not all tzon, only minatzon, only some of the tzon. Only some tzon would qualify. V'lo apalgas, that tells me the age of the animal, that the animal cannot be at the stage of being an ayil already, beyond the stage of keves, or closer to being an ayil. So that's apalgas, that's somewhere in between. Minamasayim, and then what do I learn from the phrase minamasayim? Well, there's nothing about an animal that I can learn from the phrase minamasayim. So if it's teaching me something about a carbon, it must be teaching me about the nesachim that go along with that animal. So it must be telling me something about the wine that you're going to use for the nesachim. So we assume that means mimosar shtemeus and shtayer babar, that if you have 200 chalakim of wine of heter, that's keneged one chalak of wine of arla, that would be valid. So mikan la arla shebetele b'masayim, and we see from there that the shear of bitul for arla is masayim, that if you have arla wine that came from grapes, that in the first 3 years since the vine was planted, which is asr bana, but it gets mixed in with regular wine, so it's batel b'masayim, and therefore once it's batel, you could use it for the nesachim. And then the last phrase, mimashke Yisrael, when the pasuk says mimashke Yisrael, we darshin minamutter li Yisrael. It has to be a kind of drink that's mutter for Yisrael. I mean, you're not allowed to bring something that it would be asr b'achila. Mikan amru ein mevin nesachim mina tevel. And from there we say that you're not allowed to use tevel for the nesachim, because tevel is something that's asr for Yisrael. So that's what we actually darshan from the pasuk. Yachal lo yavi min amukta. So I might have thought that just like you're not allowed to bring tevel because it's asr for Yisrael, you're also not allowed to bring wine that's mukta that you've designated for not using on Shabbos and Yantif because it's not royally Yisrael. So amart ma tevel miyuchat she isur gufo garam lo av kol she isur gufo garam lo yatsa mukta she isur gufo garam lo el isur davar acher garam lo. That no, there's a fundamental difference between tevel on the one hand and mukta on the other. That when it comes to tevel, that's what we assume the pasuk is excluding when it tells me something needs to be mutter li Yisrael, because tevel is an isur gufo. It's an isur machmas atzmo. It's inherently aser, as opposed to muksa, which is not an isur gufo. It's only isur Shabbos. It's only because it's Shabbos that muksa is aser. But as soon as Shabbos is over, this product is perfectly mutter. It's the timing. It's the fact that it's that day, that it's Shabbos, that creates the problem. So that's the chiluk that we have between tevel and muksa. All of that to get to that point. Meaning that point is going to be what we highlight when we try to demonstrate that muksa can't be an isur d'oraisa. So says the Gemara, v'i'amrit isur muksa d'oraisa. If you're going to tell me, like we said at the end of yesterday's daf, that Rabbah says that the Yisr of Muktzah is in fact Daraisa, Mali Yisr Gufo, Mali Yisr Dover Acher, then what difference does it make if it's an Yisr Gufo or it's an Yisr Dover Acher? If it's Daraisa, it should be excluded from Mimashke Yisrael, that that's got to be something that's Mutter for Yisrael. Meaning the idea that if it were Nisr Drabanan, the Reim Horovitz explains, if we were Nisr Drabanan, I understand what the Chiluk is, that since we don't find anywhere in the Torah an Yisr Achila that's machmas davar acher that's asr to the mizbech, so isurim drabanan. You're not going to say is asr to the mizbech because called the tikkun rabanan came to araisa tikkun. But if there's the isur muktzas min haTorah, so then there's no svara to be mechalik between an isur gufo and an isur machmas davar acher. I mean, why would it matter why it's asr? The point is it's not mutzul the Yisrael and they're both daraisas. So who cares if it's a daraisa, if it's an isur daraisa on account of the day, or it's an isur daraisa on account of the cheftza? It shouldn't make
make a chilek. That's how the Reim Horovitz explains. You could understand that maybe it would make a chilek because the one is inherent to it and the other is circumstantial. So bringing something on the Mizbeach that is inherently problematic might be worse. So the Arsameach explains a little bit differently based on what the Rashba writes in Mesachas Yevamos and Daf Kuf Yodalid, that in order for something that's Asur Ba'achila to be Ra'i, to be Makrav on the Mizbeach, it has to be that it's not an Isur Machmas Atzmo, that it's only Asur Machmas Dover Acher, like Muktzah, which is only Asur Machmas Shabbos, which is only Asur Machmas the date that you're on, the day that you're on. So it should be Ra'i La'achila, at least for a Katan. So if Muktzah were only Midrabanan, it would be included in Mimashka Yisrael, because you'd be allowed to be Machil Katan Biyadayim. Meaning the Halacha, that's the Sugi in Yevamos Kuf Yudal, is the Sugi about being Machil Yisurim to a Katan Biyadayim. Can you give an Isur to a Katan? So can you feed your child Chazer? Absolutely not. Can you feed your child Nevela? Absolutely not. Behemoth Mea? Absolutely not. Can you feed your child outside of the Sukkah? Right? So can you feed your child on Yom HaKippurim? Not so absolute all of a sudden. Why? What's the difference? These are all the Isurim. So no, the Rashba says there's a difference between something that's inherently Aser and something that's Aser because of circumstances. That because of the circumstance that you're in, that it's Aser. So if Muksa were Min HaTorah, it would be Aser to be Machil Katan Biyadayim, and would not be Mashke Yisrael. But since Muksa is only Drabbanan, it's Mutter to be Machil Lekatan Biyadayim, and therefore it can be brought on the Mizbeach. So that's how the Or Sameach explains based on the Shitas HaRashba. So anyway, so that was one Raya, that Muktza can't possibly be Daraisa, because if Muktza were really Daraisa, then we would not distinguish between Muktza and Tevel as far as that which is allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach. Va'odin, I'll bring you another Raya, that Muktza is not Daraisa. Ha'atu da'amrit, chilek melachos ha'Shabbos, vein chilek melachos yom tov. You're the one that said that there's chilek melachos for Shabbos, meaning if a person does multiple melachos of Shabbos, behelim echad, he forgot that it's Shabbos, and he went and he plowed and he sowed and he did whatever, five different melachos. So he's chayev five times. Whereas when it comes to Yom Tov, if he does many avos melachos and Yom Tov, b'mezid, in one maiso, or even in many different maisim, and they only warn him one time, he only gets one malchus. So why is it that if a person's mevashel gira nasha in chalav and Yom Tov, without say muktzah, he should be chayev malchus for being mevashel since it's Yom Tov? And Muktza, those are chiluk melachos. Those are two separate melachos. If you hold any chiluk melachos b'yom tov, it wouldn't make sense to say that the fifth malchus on the list is for yom tov, because one of the earlier malchus on the list is already for yom tov. So can't be that Muktza is one of the items on the list. Where do we get the notion of chiluk melachos when it comes to Shabbos? And why is it that if there's such a notion of chiluk melachos for Shabbos that it would not apply to yom tov? Meaning, what's the svara to say ein chiluk? So that is a discussion that appears in a few places in Shas of where chiluk melachos, obviously most prominently in Mesach Shabbos, but of where we get the, and in Mesach Makos as well, of where we get the notion of chiluk melachos for Shabbos and why it is that it doesn't apply to Yom Tov. This machlokas tanaim. Pasuk says, according to Rabbi Nassan, the pasuk says losaska melacha, and losaska melacha already includes every single melacha. But then the pasuk says losavar uesh mechomosh rasechem biyam haShabbos. So the tanaim discuss, once you already tell me I can't do any melacha, why do you then have to identify Havara as an independent Malacha? All the Malachos are included in Losasa Kol Malacha. So it's Machlokas Tanoim whether Havara Lelav Yatzus, Havara is identified separately to tell me that it's not quite a Malacha. It's not quite as serious as all the other Malachas. It's a regular Losasa. It's not on the Madrega of the other Malachas, or maybe no, says Rabbi Nassan. Havara Lechalik Yatzus. Havara is Dafka set aside to show me that each Malacha stands on its own. That just like Havara stands on its own, it's an example. The other malachos also stand on their own. And that's the concept of chiluk malachos. So that you have by Shabbos. But by Yom Tov, there is no singling out of Havara. And if there's no singling out of Havara on Yom Tov, so then you understand that there's not going to be a chiluk malachos on Yom Tov. It's all going to be just included in the general Isra Malacha. And even according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that Havara is the lav yatzis, Rabbi Yossi derives that there is such a din of chiluk malachos on Shabbos, but it's based on the psukim that describe the carbon chatas. It says va'asa me'achas me'hena. So we darshan that sometimes a person does avera achas and it's considered hena. It's as if he violated many averos because he's going to be chayv many chataos. So must be that there's a way to violate Shabbos. It's one isra of Shabbos, but he's going to be chayv many chataos because he did many malachos. So you don't have chiluk malachos unless it's an avera that you chayv al gosel chatas. It has to be, if it's only in the parsha of carbon chatas, it's only malachas Shabbos that you chayv a chatas for. Malachas Yom Tov for a shogeg on Yom Tov, you're not chayv a chatas because malachas Yom Tov is only a lav in the first place. In order to be chayv chatas, it needs to be in this or kares or worse. In order to be chayv a chatas b'shogeg, so by Yom Tov you don't have a chatas b'shogeg. Memela, you have no svara of chiluk malachas. So that's why we have this principle, this idea that there's chiluk malachas for Shabbos, but not chiluk malachas for Yom Tov. So anyway, the Gemara is stuck right now. We said that if you're mevashel get on asher b'Yom Tov and you know b'chalav and everything, we said that you're chayv five different malkios. So mevashel get on asher b'chalav b'Yom Tov va'ochlo that you loka chamesh. So we want to know where's the fifth one? If it's not avara and it's not mukta, so what is it? Ela apik havara va'ayil atzei asherah. You have to say that the wood that you're using to do the cooking is atzei asherah. It's asherah wood. So that's what the fifth malkus is for being for using avodah zara wood. Va'ashara mehacha. And the Ashara for such an isra is from the pasuk v'al yidbar b'yarchamu uma min acherim. So that's how we learn the fifth malchus. So amalei ravach b'rei de ravala abaye v'nilki namim shum lo savi toye v'el beisecha. Ooh, once you're bringing Ashera into the picture, then there should be a sixth malchus, because not only lo yidbar b'yarchamu uma min acherim, there's another isra of lo savi toeva el beisecha. So it should be six malchios. The Rambam writes in Ilch Savod Zara Parag Zayin Alach Beis that if a person is nene from an Ashera, he's lokeshtayim. He's loke mishum lo yidbak biyadcha, and he's loke mishum lo savi toevel beisecha. Because Mishnah says the Rambam got it from our sugya, because our Gemara is suggesting that once it's asherah, there should be an extra malchus. The Ramban and the Ritva also explain that lo savi is even though the words don't sound this way, lo savi toevel beisecha is an isra hanaa from avodah zara. However, the Aruch Lener in Maseches Makos says lichora that's difficult to understand. How could the word lo savi to'eva el beisecha, which means do not bring it into your house, what does that do with hana'a? It sounds like a separate iser of bringing the avodah zara into your house. That's why Tosos in Maseches Avodah Zara disagrees. Tosos writes lo savi is an iser of hava'a lebeiso, bring the avodah zara into your house even if you don't get any hana'a from it, just having it in your house. According to Tosos, what you have to say, so what's the kasha of the Gemara over here, meaning what do you mean, why should he be in violation of lo savi to'eva el beisecha? Who said that he brought it into his house? We just said he's mevashel giranasha bechalav on Yom Tov with atzei asheira. Meichi tesi that it was in his house at all. So according to Tosfos, you have to understand that the Gemara's kasha is, well, if you want to set up maximum number of isurim that he could have done with this one act, make this cooking in his house, and then you'll have a sixth malchus. From the fact that we don't set it up in that way, then it must be that we're not talking about atzei asheira. Because if we really wanted this act to be to maximize the number of malchios, just make it that it's a case that it's in his house. So Ella says Gemara, a final possibility. Apik avara, it's not avara, it's not muksa, it's not atzei asherah. What is the fifth malchus? Apik avara va'ayil atzei hegdish, that he's using atzei hegdish. So he's destroying the atzei hegdish by burning them and using them as the firewood to cook his giranasha with chalav. V'ashara mehacha, and the ashara is from the pasuk v'ashreim tisrafun be'esh, but lo sasum ken l'ashem elokeichem, that even though ashreim tisrafun be'esh, we have a mitzvah when we go into Yisrael to destroy all the but with the pasuk specifically tells us, but don't do that l'Hashem Elokeichem, meaning don't take things that are kodesh, things that are holy, and destroy them. So we're not allowed to destroy a chafetz shel kedusha. So that's the iser of using hektish firewood to do this cooking, and that's the fifth malchus that we were referring to yesterday. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to backtrack a second and say, well, wait a second, we had a machlokas amoraim, whether we apply the principle of Hoish. wheel. On a Daraisa level, am I allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos? Because holy Miklayarkum Chazile, do we have the principle that really I'm not allowed to cook for Shabbos, but it might be for Yom Tov because holy Miklayarkum guests might show up on Yom Tov, and because of that I'm allowed to cook as much as I want. Do we apply such a principle? So that was Machlokas Rabba and Rav Chisda. Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama suggests Had Rav Chisda Rabba Machlokas Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shoihi. It's the same machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua in our Mishnah about what to do with a dough that's tamei on Pesach. Whether you should bake it first, bake all of the dough first, and then be mafresh challah afterwards, even though part of what you're baking is asr ba'achila. It turns out you're baking that which is challah on Yom Tov, or no, it's that you're not allowed to do that because you can't bake that which you're not allowed to eat. You're only allowed to bake for ochel nefesh. So if you're baking something that's challah, that's going to be problematic. Reb Lazar says, bake it all, bake all of the kikaros, and in the end you'll be mafresh challah, must hold of hawil. Because even though in the end you're going to be mafresh challah and it's going to be asr ba'achila, so it turned out that you baked in a yom tov for a non-ochel nefesh need, you're allowed to do it because hawil will be yodel afresh man, mikol kikar v'kikar. You have a hawil that if you want, you could take challah a little bit from each loaf, and therefore each kikar was ra'i la'achila, each kikar was ra'i to bake. Even though you may not do that, you may just be mafresh challah normally, and just take one loaf and chuck it, but hawil, since you have that possibility, maybe that's Rabbi Lazar Shita. Rabbi Shua, Savalar Min Hol, Rabbi Shua says, no, you cannot bake all of them, he does not apply hawil, and therefore Rabbi Shua says, what are you going to do? You have to be mafresh the challah while it's still dough, you cannot take the challah and put it in the oven. So Amar Papa Vidilma, he says, nah, maybe the two machlokas are not linked to each other. Vidilma adkan lo kam Rabbi Lazar hasab, maybe Rabbi Eliezer only says about the dough that's tameh, that you're allowed to bake it on Yom Tov, Darmin and Hawil, Ella de Beinna de Ka'elu de Tanuru, Kal Chadav Chadav Chazile de Didei. At the time that you're putting each loaf into the oven, you can say, I might be the guy that eats this loaf, that this might be mutter for me. I know that I'm going to have to be mafresh challah from somewhere, from something, but each loaf I can say that hawil, that it could be something that I can eat. Aval hacha, but over here, when you're just cooking massive amounts on Yantif, that's way more than you could ever eat. Maybe hawil involves using your imagination a little bit, right? That it's possible that this will be something that's useful. So maybe Rabbi Lezer is willing to use your imagination a little bit, but not so much to say, yeah, it's possible that I'll eat this dough, but it's got to be me to say that it's possible that it will be useful because an army will come, because a whole bunch of other people will come. That's too much. That's too much of a stretch. It's got to at least be shayich to the person himself. So I'll give you another reason why the two machlokos are not necessarily connected. Because maybe I'd kan lo kam Rabbi Yeshua hasam de lo amin and hawil el dika chadad lo chazil lo li devil lo arachin. Maybe the only reason Rabbi Yeshua was not comfortable employing hawil when it came to baking the challah is because at the end of the day there's going to be a portion of what you're baking that nobody is going to be allowed to eat. Not you, not anybody else. But when you're just cooking a lot on Yom Tov, maybe Rabbi Yeshua is willing to say the principle of Hawil in such a case, because you're cooking a lot and somebody will be able to eat it. Granted, I won't be able to eat it, I can only eat so much, but it's going to be mutter for people to eat. So somebody could technically eat it, as opposed to by Afrash Eschala, nobody's going to be able to eat it. So that's why the Gemara suggests that maybe this Rami Bar Chama's suggestion that the machlokas amorayim, whether there's a din of hawil, that it aligns with the machlokas tanayim about what to do about my tamei dough and how do I handle afresh eschal and pesach. Maybe the alignment is not perfect. Maybe the two machlokas do not align with each other. So amrur rabban kamed Rabbi Yirmi Rabbi Zeira Rabbi Yirmi kibla Rabbi Zeira lo kibla. So the rabbanan told over Rami Bar Chama's suggestion that this machlokas amorayim matches this machlokas tanayim to two gedolei amorayim. They told it over to Rabbi Yirmi and Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmi says, great idea. I think it's exactly aligned. I think it's perfectly correct. And Rabbi Zeira was not mekabel. Rabbi Zeira said, like we just suggested, that they're not really perfectly aligned. These two machlokas do not necessarily have to do with each other. So Rabbi Yirmi said to Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Yirmiyah again, who was Mekabel, he said to Rabbi Zeira, Milsa de Kashilan, Vasa Kamashni, Bemai Pligi, Rabbi Lez Rabbi Yeshua, Hashtam Ruh, Meshmet Gav Rabba Velo Nekabla. We spent years trying to figure out this machlokas, Rabbi Lez Rabbi Yeshua, about what to do with the dough when it's going to turn into chametz if you just leave it, what to do with the dough when you want to bake and it's tamei on Pesach. And now a Gav Rabba, Rabbi Bar Chama came and he gave us an explanation. And he told us, this machlokas tanaim could be explained based on the known machlokas that we have. And it fits, you know, maybe perfect, maybe not perfect, but it fits. So why wouldn't you be mekabel such an explanation? We've worked so hard on it for so long, and someone finally came with an explanation. Samerleis, Rabbi Zeir said back to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Hechi Akabla, how could I possibly be mekabel it? Because I have a brisa where Rabbi Eliezer was challenged, and he could have defended himself by just using that word, Hawil, and he didn't. So it's very hard for me to imagine that Rabbi Eliezer is based on Hawil, because Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, the Tanina, the brisa tells us, Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Eliezer, Lidvarecha, according to you, that you're allowed to bake all of these loaves on Yom Tov, even though one of them is going to have to be used for challah, Hareyu over Mishum Losasa Kamalacha, isn't it a violation of Losasa Kamalacha? Meaning a very basic question, Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, it's a violation of Malacha on Yom Tov to bake a loaf that nobody's allowed to eat. So Vishasikle, and Rabbi Eliezer didn't respond. But Viisa, but if Rami Bar Chama is really correct, that Rabbi Eliezer is based on a Hawil, Lamele time in Didimi Shemawil. Well, why is he Shasikle? Why is he quiet? Give an answer, explain that I hold of Hawil, and that's why you're allowed to bake it. Samaleis, Rabbi Yirmi said back to Rabbi Zeira, Ulutamech, according to your Shita that you say from the fact that he was quiet when he had what to respond, is a raya that he didn't have what to respond. Haditanina Bebraisa. Well, how are you going to explain that which we learned in the Braisa, where it goes the other way, where Rabbi Eliezer challenges Rabbi Yeshua? Amilo Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, Lidvarecha, according to you, that you could be mafresh challah from the dough and just not bake it, Harei over Mishum Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei. Think about what you're suggesting, Rabbi Yeshua. You're suggesting me mafresh challah, dough, on Pesach, and leaving it there. It's going to be chametz, of course. That's Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei. And in the Braisa, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't respond. But we know that Rabbi Yeshua does respond. He doesn't respond. He responds in the Mishnah. We have a Mishnah where he responds. Our Mishnah. Ditnan, in our Mishnah, we said that Rabbi Yeshua's response is very simple. That even though you're right, it will become chametz, but it's not my problem because it's not mine. It's challah. Challah belongs to kahuna. It doesn't belong to, and belongs to no individual kohen. So no one's in violation of bali ra bali matzei. That it's only an isser if it's dough that belongs to you. So Rabbi Yeshua does have an answer. So why was he quiet in the Braisa? El Shasle Bebraisa, Mahad Masnisin, the way the Braisa recorded the Machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua didn't respond. But in the Mishnah, he did respond. So don't tell me that from the fact that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't respond to Rabbi Yeshua's challenge in the Braisa, it means that Rabbi Eliezer has no response. It means that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't know the Fawil. Maybe, Hachinami, Emor Shasle Masnisa, Vahad Mimichalta Achriti. Maybe in this Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't respond, but there's some other brisa somewhere. Now, we don't have on record where there is such a brisa or anywhere that he does say it, but who knows? Maybe there's another brisa that was taught somewhere else, where Rabbi Eliezer does in fact hold the Fawil, and therefore you cannot be medayik from his shtika that he doesn't hold the Fawil. Tanya, Rabbi Omer Alacha, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Alacha, Mem Beseira. How do we pask it in the actual machlokas in our Mishnah? What do you do with the tamei dough when you need to be mafresh challah and you need to bake? What do you do? So Rabbi says that we pask it like Rabbi Eliezer, bake it all, be mafresh challah afterwards, and Rabbi Yitzchak says the halacha is like Ben Beseira, that you mafresh challah from the dough before you bake it and just put it into cold water in order to prevent it from being chametz. So not like Rabbi Yeshua either, who just says be mafresh the challah and let it be and let it become chametz and it's not your problem. No, be mafresh the challah, but it still is a problem, so put it into cold water in order that it shouldn't become chametz. How do we paskin la halacha? Meaning at the end of the sugi, you expect to come out la halacha, but we have machlokas, Rebbe and Rebbe Yitzchak. Right? So how do we paskin la halacha? So the Rif writes that the halacha is like Rabba, that we do apply holy mekla yarchim, because the Gemara says that Rabba is following shitas Rabbi Eliezer, and Rav Chista is following shitas Rabbi Yeshua, and since we paskin halacha Rabbi Eliezer, so the halacha is therefore like Rabba. So that's how. So the Rif is working with an assumption. assumption. Meaning, he says, if you're going to wonder about whether we pass in Ho'il, we must, because look, Rabbi Omer halacha Rabbi Eliezer, and we said that Rabbi Eliezer is aligned with Rabba, so it must be that we pass like Rabba. So the Baal Amor just points out that no, he says the halacha zak Rav Chista, the rifs raya that the halacha zak Rabba from the fact that Rabbi Eliezer passes that we pass like Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Lazar is like Rabba. That's not true because Rav Papa rejected it. He said Rabbi Lazar could even be going like Rav Chista that we don't say holvi miklay archim because it's tali and archim and we don't say hoel in such a case. I mean, we just got through saying that the two machlokas are not necessarily aligned with each other. Okay, so that's a machlokas rishonim, whether we apply the principle of hoel, whether we paskin the principle of hoel. The kamashir isa. So now the Gemara brings another brisa, somewhat unrelated. How much dough are you allowed to make on Pesach at one time where you can be safe and assume that it won't become chametz? Not assume and be careful that it won't become chametz. Rabbi Shlomo ben Osher Yochanan Broka Omer bechitin kabayin. If you're making wheat flour, dough out of wheat flour, so two kavs is enough. Ubisaorin, and if it's barley flour, shloshes kabin. Then it's three kavs of barley flour. And the assumption is, Rabbi Chanan explains that wheat produces more flour than barley does. So if you take two kav of wheat, it will yield the same amount of flour as three kav of barley, and therefore the dough is going to end up being the same size. So we're describing the size of dough that's going to end up being the same just based on how much wheat and how much barley. Rabbi Nassan Omer Shem Rabbi Lazar Chiluf Hadvarim. That no, by barley dough you can only use two kavim. By wheat dough you can use a much larger dough. Why should that be? Why should you be able to use a much larger dough? So the assumption is that barley becomes chametz much more quickly. So therefore it requires extra shmira. You can only make a smaller dough at a time. V'atayin Rabbi Shlomo ben Osher Yochanan ben Broka Omer bechitin shloshes kavim b'sorin arba kavim. How can you say that the numbers are 2 and 3? We have a brisa that Rabbi Shlomo ben Osher Yochanan ben Broka says the numbers are 3 and 4 for chitim and barley and saorim each. So it says more lo kasha ha bechasichasa ha b'malyasa. That the second brisa is talking about wheat and barley that are very low quality, whereas the first brisa is talking about very high quality, meaning the flour that's going to come out of three kav of low quality wheat is equal to the amount of flour that would come out of two kav of high quality wheat. The amount of flour that comes out of four kav of low quality saorim will equal the amount of flour that would come out of three kav of high quality saorim. So it's actually the same. It's the same ratio between wheat and barley. So Amra Papa Shmamina Green Chiti Chasichasa Michiti Malyasa Tve Midgrin Sari Chasichasa Misari Malyasa. What you see from there is that the difference between high quality wheat and low quality wheat is a greater difference than the difference between low quality barley and high quality barley. Dilu Hasam, because when it comes to wheat, Tilta, the difference is off by 1/3. We said low quality, 3 kavin, and high quality, 2 kavin, yield the same amount of flour. Yeah, so it's only off, it's off by a lot, it's off by 50%, the difference between 2 and 3 kavin. But hacha riva, but when it came to barley, we said 4 to 3, so that ratio is off by a little bit less. So apparently the difference between high and low quality barley is not as great a percentage of difference as the difference between high and low quality wheat. So good, so that's the discussion about how much dough to make. So now the Gemara discusses a little bit further as far as not only how much dough you're allowed to make on Pesach, but also as far as the mitzvah for Fresh Eschal is concerned. Samarav, kaba melugna'a lepischa v'chein l'chala. A kav melugna'a. Melugna'a must be a kav that's used in a particular place called lugna'a. So it's that's the shear of dough that you're allowed to make on Pesach at one time without being concerned that it's automatically going to be chametz, and it's also the shear of dough that throughout the year is chayiv and chala. V'atanan, so says more, but wait a second, there's a Mishnah Maseches Chala that tells us how much dough is chayiv and chala, and it's not a kaba melugna'a. It says chamesh shvam kamech va'od chayiv and chala, that if you have 4 rivei akav, meaning a kav and a quarter, that's and a little bit more, that's what's chayiv and chala. So says more, yeah, it means the same thing. Amar Kabam Lugna, Nami Ahayshi Rukai, Akabam Lugna is Chameshus Revei Akav Va'od, so it turns out to be exactly the same. Amar Rav Yosef, Hani Nashi Didon, No Glumet for Kafiza Kafiza Lepischa, that our wives have a minhag to be Machmir to bake on Pesach only in a kli that holds three lug of flour at a time, and that way they're able to monitor and make sure that it doesn't become chametz. So I'm like, Abaye, my day teich l'chumrah. You think that's a good chumrah? You're being so machmir that they're using so little flour, so little dough. Chumrah dasli de kulahu. Every time you're machmir, you always have to keep in mind: is this going to be? Am I cutting a corner somewhere else? Is this going to be a chumrah dasli de kulah? And it is to come after the mechala, because now you're avoiding the mitzvah of challah, which is interesting that we call that a kula. Meaning, he's not saying that you're becoming chayv and challah and not able to do it. He's saying you're avoiding the chiyuv entirely. But that's apparently called a kula, because a person is supposed to try to put themselves in a situation where we're going to do as many mitzvahs as possible, right? Just like the mitzvah of tzitzis. Technically speaking, a person doesn't wear a beged of dalit kanfos, so he's not chayiv in tzitzis. But bidan ritcha, Kadosh Baruch Hu gets upset if we choose not to wear a beged of dalit kanfos. We're dafka supposed to wear a beged of dalit. Now, if you know that by wearing a beged of dalit kanfos, you're not going to be able to perform the mitzvah of tzitzis, then for sure much better not to wear a beged of dalit kanfos. Rav Shakta has that unusual shita. He writes in Ginas Egos that if you have access to tcheles and then you don't use tcheles, so it's a violation of an isra of Bal Tigra and the mitzvah of tzitzis. So he holds that if you're not going to use tcheles, it's better not to wear tzitzis and not to wear a beged of dalit kanfos in the first place, because if you know that you're not going to be able to do it, so it's going to be an isra. So then you avoid it. But in general, when you have the ability to do a mitzvah, so you should go ahead and do that mitzvah. So Amalei da Avdan Karabi Lazar. So Rav Yosef says, Abai, no, they're not cutting corners, not being mekel and challah. They're still being mafresh challah. Ah, but their dough's not big enough. How are they being mafresh challah? They do like Rabbi Elazar says. The Tan, Rabbi Elazar, Omer, Harod, the Benosin, the Sal, the Sal, Mitzar, the challah. You don't need to have all of the shir challah together when you're kneading the dough. You could take them out of the oven after it's fully baked, put them in the same basket. The basket is mitzarif, all the dough to one shir of challah. Vam Rabbi Domer Shmuel, Halach, Rabbi Elazar, and Shmuel Paskins like Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, our wives are mafresh challah. So Amle Abayis is back to Rabbi Yosef. That's only if you have loaves that are biting into each other, that are sort of attached to each other, like sometimes you get from the bakery, the challah rolls that you have to like rip apart from each other. That's when we say the sal is mitzarif them. But if they're not biting into each other, then the sal is not mitzarif them. And that's clearly not happening with your matzah, I hope, right? When your matzah, you're making small doughs at a time, it would defeat the purpose if they're all baked in the oven at the same time and they bite into each other. So how can you say that the sal is mitzarif? So he says, "Hayit Marallah, I'm Rabbi Chanina, afilu kachin." Because Rabbi Chanina disagrees with that assessment. He thinks afilu kachin, that even when they're individual long loaves that are not at all attached to each other, the sal has the ability to be mitzarif them. The basket could be mitzarif them for challah. So by Rabbi Yirmiya, tavla she'ina levazbezin toch klibi ina samahu toch klibi ina valeka odilma avir klibi ina ve'ika. What if you have a flat tray, like you have those meat trays nowadays, right? That is just a flat tray that they serve meat. It still doesn't seem practical to me, but is that something that's mitzarif the shear of for the shear of challah? Do we say you need a toch kli and there's no toch because it's just a flat tray, or do we assume avir kli? It just needs to be in the airspace of a kli, and it is in the airspace of a kli. So teiku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. And Shulchan Aruch we paskin that it's not mitzarif, and the Shach explains that the reason it's not mitzarif because in the Ibai Glov Shita and the Gemara and challah bezman azez drabanan. So therefore we paskin the kula. You would think tziruf is that tziruf is a kula. Now I get to take challah, but no, to create a chiyuv is a chumra. So kula would mean that it's not chayiv in challah. Tanya Rabbi Lezer Omer Akol Mitzarfen, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Tanur Mitzarfen. Rabbi Yeshua says Rabbi Lezer says Hasal Mitzarfen, rather Hasal Mitzarfen. The basket is Mitzarfen, and Rabbi Yeshua says even if you didn't put it in one basket but you baked it in the same oven, the Tanur is Mitzarfen. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Kikar Shal Bavel Shenoshka Zumi Zum Mitzarfos. That if you have Kikar Shal Bavel that bite into each other, then they're Mitzarif even if you don't put them into the same basket. But these Kachim that are individual entities, individual units, that you need to put in the same basket in order to be Mitzarif for Challah. New mission now. You can have three women that are all baking matzah at the same time on Pesach, and they don't have to worry about chametz because they don't have to. It's not automatically going to be chametz, even though they're all sharing the same oven. They bake in the same oven, one after the other. They know the oven's too small for them all to use it at the same time. That three women can be involved in the dough at the same time, but they can't all be kneading at the same time. They each have to be at different stages of the product, meaning while one is kneading, the other one's already arranging her dough, and the other one is already baking, and then they keep going around like that. Rabbi Kiva says, there's no rule over here of how many women could manage. It depends how zahir the women are, it depends how hot the oven is, how quickly it bakes. There are a lot of factors over here. Zaklal, but the rule is that tavach, if you see the dough starts to swell, tiltosh bitzoni, you should quickly pat it down in cold water to stunt the chimutz process. So Tanur Rabbanan, the Brisa tells us as follows: Lasha, that a woman needs dough. If a woman has kneaded her dough, he mekatefes. She should right away start arranging the dough. V'chavirta lasha tachta, and then the next woman could start kneading her dough. Mekatefes. As soon as I finish arranging my dough, he ofes. So go bake that dough. V'chavirta mekatefes tachta, and the one who was previously kneading will now go over to the arranging station. V'ashlishis lasha, and then the third woman could start kneading the dough. Ofe. Once the dough is baked, he lashes us. And now go back to knead more dough. V'chavir ta'ofa tachtel. And the one who was just arranging the dough will now bake the dough. V'ashlish is mekatefes. And the one who was kneading the dough will now arrange the dough. V'chaz is chalila. And they'll keep going around in a rotation like that. But as long as you're osek in the dough, it's never going to be bali dechimutz. The Rambam paskins in Chametz Matzah Parakei, even kalayom kulo. It's not like 18 minutes is if the dough is left alone. But you can do kalayom kulo. As long as you're aggravating the dough, it's never going to be chimutz. Rabbi Kiva Omer lo kala nashim. Rabbi Kiva said, not all the nashim, not all the eitzim, not all the tanurim are the same. Tanya Amar Rabbi Kiva Dati Levnei Rav Gamliel. Rabbi Kiva said, you know, I challenge Rav Gamliel. I'm den Rabbeinu. But nashim Jesus, and nashim Shein Jesus. You're telling me these rules that three women, you can have three women that are kneading the dough. What kind of women are you talking about? Are you talking about women that are very careful and are good and are quick, or women that are not so quick? Beitzim lachem or beitzim yevesh. Right? Is it a New York bagel store? Is it an out of town bagel store? Right? I mean, how do they operate? You have to. Is it be'etzim lachem or be'etzim yveshim? I'm going to get hate mail for that. I did. It was just a joke. Be'etzim lachem or be'etzim yveshim? Is it with dry wood or with moist wood? Betanur cham or betanur tzonin? Is it with a hot oven or a cold oven? So Amali ein l'chay l'mashas shana cham zaklal kol tavach tiltosh betzonin. So he says that all we know is that if you see that it's going to become chametz, you have to do something in order to prevent it from becoming chametz. Now the last mission. Daf Seir, if you have dough that started to become chametz, Yisarif, it's got to be burnt for ochel patur. You're not chayiv kares for eating it on Pesach. Siduk, if it's really become chametz, then Yisarif ochel chayiv kares. Then you chayiv kares for eating it. Ezu Seir, what is the pre-chametz gomor stage? That's kikarni chagavim. That's when you see some cracks in the surface of the dough that look like a grasshopper's horns. Siduk shenisarvu stuck in zebazed of Rabbi Yehuda. Siduk is when the cracks all form like a web with each other, that's real chimutz. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. No, even if it just has kikarne chagavim, small cracks, that's already chametz gomer. The Ezu Seir, what is Seir? Well, that means that it's just beginning to become chametz. Kol shechsifu panav kadam sham dusa rosav. It's where the surface of the dough pales. It becomes white, like a person who turns white when he's terrified. Tan Rabban, Ezu Seir, kol shechsifu panav kadam sham dusa rosav. Sidu kikarne chagavim divra meir. The Rameir says that Seir is when it turns white, and Siduk is when it's Kekarni Chagavim. Chamomrim, Ezu Seir Kekarni Chagavim, and Siduk Shen Sarvu Stuck in Zebazeh. That Seir is when you have Karni Chagavim, Siduk is when there's a web of cracks. Vizebazeh, Ha'ochel Chayiv Kares. But whether it's Seir or whether it's Siduk, you're Chayiv Kares. So it says, well, really? The Mishnah just said not that way. Vanantan Seir, you sorry, Vochel Potter. The Mishnah said that if someone who eats Seir, they're going to be Potter. Divir Rabbi Yehuda, that they're not going to be Chayiv Kares. Seima Rabbi Meir zevzel ochel chayv karis. No, we have to say is when we say zevzel ochel chayv karis, that's not a hemshich of what the chachamim are saying. The Tana of the Brisa is saying whether it's nisarvu astakim zevzel, which Rabbi Yehuda holds is siduk, or whether it's just kikarni chagavim, which Rabbi Yehuda thought is seyur. Rabbi Meir is going to say either of those you're chayv karis for, because Rabbi Meir holds that the karni chagavim is also siduk. So that's where you're going to be chayv karis. Kari is for. So according to him, they're both going to be Siduk. Amar Rava, my time is Rav Meir. Why does Rav Meir hold that you chayv Kari's even if it's only Kikarni Chagavim? Meaning, after all, that doesn't look like Chametz Gamur. So he says, you're right, it doesn't look like Chametz Gamur, but it's a big fat dough. You only see what's going on the surface of the dough. Beneath the surface, there must be a web of cracks all over that dough that, in fact, is Chametz Gamur. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow night, I do plan on giving a Dav Yomi Shir after Shabbos. I'll do it at 7 o'clock tomorrow night on the regular Zoom. I'll also give in Shul on Shabbos, of course. So we'll pick up from the Mishnah on the top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph tomorrow, either for those here and for those there, Beis Hashem, 7 o'clock tomorrow night.